Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let me turn this thing on here. Okay, how's that? A little better? All right. So good morning once again. So as you can tell, two things have been really obvious right now. The first one is that Ethan and I are identical twins. Can't tell us apart. Second one is that the sermon is going to be about love, right? No. Okay, it's about faith. And first, I wanted to thank Ethan because we did have a bit of a mix-up on who was going to preach this morning. And so, as you can tell, we were both really ready for it, and we're going to go. But thank you, Ethan. I appreciate you letting me have this chance. Okay, so I wanted to talk a little bit about faith. And let me tell you how we got to this. Yesterday, Aiden and I had to take a little trip over to Lee's Summit. Now, as we were driving over there, I asked him how he was doing and you know, how his week's been going and things like that. And I get the normal answers that you would get from a 9-year-old. Fine. Good. It's okay. You know, that type of thing. But then we started talking about church. And I said, Aiden, what are the Bible stories or Bible accounts that you really like to hear about? What would you like to hear me talk about? And he said, well, how about Noah's Ark? And I thought about that for a little while, and you know, that kind of covers 100 years, and I'm not sure 20 minutes would exactly do Noah's Ark justice. But the one thing that I think of most when I think about Noah's story was his faith. How God told him to do it, and he went out and did it. Regardless of the fact that it took him 100 years to complete. So that's where we're going to kind of start today. So, as we heard in the reading, in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews gives us a good definition of what faith is, right? It's the hope, things to come, the assurance of things not seen. And I probably got that backwards. Please forgive me, I'm going to paraphrase just a tad. Well, if you were like me and you grew up, my dad was a Marine. So the first place I remember going to school was in Hawaii. And at that time, the Hawaiian school system was number 51 out of 50 as far as being bad schools, right? And then shortly after that, when we came back, we went straight to Kentucky. So we actually went down to 52. Good. So as far as trying to figure out about faith, I did the best I could. My counting, you know, I got 10 on my hand, 11 on my feet, and I'm sorry, too many, one too many. I went to Google, and I wanted to see how many times faith was mentioned. And you know, it's only mentioned twice in the Old Testament, and over 245 times in the New Testament, depending upon the version of the Bible that you're reading. So to me, what that points to is how important faith is. How important it became. Okay? So let's take a look at a couple of things about faith. So the first one I want to do, so I want to look in Romans. And in Romans, in the 10th chapter, verse 17, I know you're very familiar with this. Let me see. Romans 10th chapter, verse 17. There we go. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So that means in order to have faith, we've got to hear first about it, right? And then, want to know about how strong faith is, or how strong it needs to be. And you know, a good example of this happens with Christ's disciples. You know, he's trying to explain to these men what this ministry is about, what he's about, who he is. And they have a really hard time grasping it. But you know, he sends them out, and they find this man whose son is possessed by a demon. Okay? So in Matthew 17, we're going to pick it up at verse number 14. Okay? When they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees and saying, Lord, Have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and very ill. For oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, you unbelieving and perverted generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. And the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why couldn't we drive him out? And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you may say to this mountain, move from here to here, or from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So, my first question is, how many of you have faith of a mustard seed? How many of us have moved a mountain? Okay? And that's all right, because you know what? I haven't moved one either. But then, do you know that in Ephesians, in the second chapter of Ephesians, I'm getting there, second chapter of Ephesians, in verse number 8, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, for it is the gift of God. So it is our faith that saves us. Okay? It's our faith that saves us. And then, not only that, but once we have this, once we hear about this faith, once we develop a little bit of it, even less than the size of a mustard seed, it saves us. Then what do we got to do? Well, we got to walk by faith, don't we? And so, let's take a look here. Or excuse me, the first thing we got to do, well, depends on how you, which book you're looking at. I went with, Galatians 2, chapter 2, verse 20, which says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives with me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So now if we live in faith. And in the second Corinthian letter, 5, verse 5, and verse number 7, chapter 5, verse 7, here we go. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Okay. So I hit you pretty hard, pretty fast with hearing about faith, what it is, what we're supposed to do. And this stuff you know, right? You know, you've been here. We've had plenty of sermons on faith. But now, where I want to take this a little bit further is let's take what Aiden thought about, Noah, and let's go somewhere else. Let's go to Luke number 7, chapter 7, and we're going to read about some faith. Okay, what it means. A working definition, if you will. Okay? How all this stuff kind of comes together. And at this time, it comes from a pretty unique source. One that you wouldn't have thought of. Because Jesus is, in his ministry, okay? And think about it. Jesus is Jewish, so therefore he's ministering to the Jews. But, in Matthew 7, he said, when he completed all his discourse, in the hearing of the people, he went to Capernaum. And a centurion slave, who was highly regarded by him, was sick and about to die. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders asking him to come and to save the life of his slave. When they came to Jesus, they earnestly implored him, saying, "He is worthy of you, or for you to grant this to him, for he loves our nation, and it was he who built us our synagogue." Now Jesus started on his way with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself further, for I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. For this reason, I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man placed under authority, with soldiers underneath me. And I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes. And I say to this one, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled at him, and turned and said to the crowd that followed him, "I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great a faith." A centurion, a Roman, if you will, an alien in the country, right? Didn't know anything. Well, we don't know that for sure, but as far as being taught and trained up his whole life in Judaism, definitely not. But he understood authority, and he understood who Jesus was. There wasn't a question in his mind. That's a God story. Okay, so I got one more for you I want you to think about. And this one we're going to go back into Matthew. Matthew has one of my favorite disciples in there. I relate to him for some reason. His name is Peter. Peter is probably one of the, best guys. I like him because he is so relatable. In Matthew, in the 14th chapter, starting in verse 22, it says, "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away. After he sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray when it was evening." He was there alone. "But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary." And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. Now when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." But immediately, it was a ghost, and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter, Petros, the rock. Peter says to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. He began to sink and he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, took a hold of him and said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" That is another God story. Peter actually started to have the biggest faith. Can you imagine? Can you imagine just stepping out of your boat, walking across the water? We used to do that in North Dakota, but that's because the water was frozen. We called it ice fishing. But Peter, just like us, took that step and even got a little ways before other things distracted him. Okay? So, this is what the whole point of this is, I want to ask you, what is your God story? We all have one. If we see somebody tomorrow, or the next day, or the day after, what is our God story? How do we tell them, or how do we show them about the faith that we have? What happened to us? Now, it's not easy, but it's easy to talk about the plan of salvation using your Bible. Okay? Talk about the plan of salvation and how everything happened and this is why you need to be baptized and so on and so forth. And that's very important. But people want to know, why did it change your life? What happened to you that it changed your life? Okay? Or, how do you know that God's in your life today? What happens to you on a daily basis that you know that God's here? That God is walking with you? Okay? I'm going to give you another story. And this one involves Chloe. Okay? As you can tell, my grandchildren mean a lot to me. They're part of my life and have been since they've been around, since they've been born. This one happened a couple of years ago. Probably now about 4 or 5 years ago. We were here. It was a very hot day. I rode my motorcycle to work. And afterwards, Lance suggested that I take Chloe for a little motorcycle ride. And I mean, it was hot. And the reason why this is important was it was the one time I did not wear my jacket. Okay? Well, so anyway, we went on this ride. And we went on, south out of Sedalia. Okay? And it's a little windy road. It's a nice motorcycle road. It's nice to get out with some air and things like that. Well, there's this one particular curve on there that because of the heat of the day, because of the day that I had at work, I don't know. I was distracted for that one half a second. Okay? So in that one half a second, the motorcycle crossed the center line in the middle of a corner. And at least I was smart enough, or let me say this, God had me lift my head up. And when I did, a car popped over the hill. So I had to lay the motorcycle down in order to keep us from getting head on. So I laid the motorcycle down and went sliding across the gravel and whatnot. And as soon as I looked up, well, of course, I saw the motorcycle bouncing. As soon as I looked up, my immediate reaction was to look back. And there was Chloe. She was safe. She was on the side of the road. She was a little bit dazed. And the guy at the car, he had stopped. He had missed us. And asked me if we were all right. We were. You know, I had a hole in my jeans. My arm was kind of ate up. And, you know, we were shaken up. But we got the motorcycle upright. And I said, okay, Chloe, we're going to ride this thing very slowly home. When we get home, I do not want you to run in the house and tell Emma what happened right away. I want to be able to tell her. Okay. Well, as you all know, judging from your reaction, that didn't happen that way. So we ended up going to the emergency room. We got separated. We went into two different rooms. I was examined and found out I had a broken rib and a bunch of road rash. Fortunately for me, the piece of road that we were on was freshly paved. So it was a nice, smooth slide. There wasn't a whole lot of junk on the road. So it was pretty easy for them to clean out. I did ask them for a second shot of morphine. About the time they gave it to me, that's when the first one really kicked in. You know, I was just about ready to throw up, so we quit that. And Chloe came through. She had a little bit of road rash right here. I think a little bit on her arm. But other than that, perfect. And she came in to talk to me to make sure that I was all right. And That's when I knew that God was with us. Because it could have gone another way. It should have gone another way. And I'm telling you, if you're in this room today, God's in your life. God is in your life. Because we all know, we've all been apart, and we've all seen things that we should not have walked away from at one time or another. And that's because our God has something for us to do. Okay. So, I want to kind of wrap this up. I want you to take a few things away from this. Okay? So our next verse is going to be in 1 John. It's in 1 John, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Whoever believes that Jesus Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father, loves the child born to him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. And you know what? He finishes up by saying this in verse number 13. He says, "These things I write to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." And then finally, we're going to go back to Hebrews at verse number 13. So that when you tell your God story, or you're not fortunate enough to have a rolling jail like Buckley, that you will remember this. "For He Himself has said, I will never desert you, and I will never forsake you. So that we can say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?" That's what our faith is about. And that's who our faith is in. And so I ask you today, or I ask you to remember your God story. Share it with just one person. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Your God, Jesus, He's with you. He's right here beside you. He's not going to let anything happen to you. But if something should happen, He's still there. And He'll be there always. He's never going to leave. So, if for some reason you need the prayers of the church this morning, or if you want to start a relationship with God and the message has somehow touched your heart, I would ask you to come forward as we all stand and sing our song of invitation.